back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Kirk Smith, and my co-host and buddy...
Graham K. Hi, everybody. How's it going? I don't know why I asked that. You guys can't respond. You're in your car right now. But thank you for listening. We're back for another week. Kirk is in my apartment. He's off the seas. Back in town. How's JJ doing, Kirk?
Good. We had a really sweet call yesterday, and was on the open waters the last 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable. And yesterday, one of the first, maybe the second ever, unprompted kisses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, talking to him, and I'm like, hi, how you doing, buddy? He's looking at me, and then he just gave me the old hand to, I'm acting it out for some reason for a podcast that's only.
I like to see it.
Yeah, me throwing kisses.
Don't deprive me of this. Ooh.
Gave me a sweet, sweet kiss.
That's
and
really nice,
yeah, kind of made my day. He hasn't called today. We do a call every day. Full disclosure, he doesn't, you know, get to it all day. Sometimes every day. Sometimes he has a little issue. But I think he's doing good. I'm going over there in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, I think. Yeah, the beginning of April. So I'll be over in Sweden. Hopefully it'll be not sub-zero temperatures. How about you? What's been going on with Pete these days?
Pete has his big follow-up doctor's appointment in a couple days to find out if he is allowed to walk again.
Get the Grammo brothers back on their feet.
That's right. That's right. The K-boys are finally getting back on their feet. I'm recovering from hip surgery. He's recovering from ankle surgery. And, yeah, he's still on his scooter. I said this last episode or two episodes ago, but he was supposed to, a neurotypical person would be, or my more high-functioning person with autism would be using a cane at this point for the past month, but he is unable to understand how to not put weight on his sore foot and distribute the weight onto the cane.
It's not a very linear concept.
Yeah. He kind of just holds the cane and walks around.
It's like a little dance number.
Kind of, yeah. And so the physical therapist was like, you know, walk around and then for 2 minutes a day and use the cane the rest of the day. And then he did that for like a week and then had a follow-up appointment with the surgeon, and the surgeon watched him walk around with the cane and was like, this is very bad. You've been just he's like, how long has this been going on? And he's been, my brother was like, 2 weeks. So he's just been walking on it for 2 weeks, just holding the cane.
Doing a little dance over, throwing the cane up in the air, catching it, throwing it around.
Like, that's not it.
Doing a few tricks.
So yeah, it's like, how can you do that? No, he was like, you have to stick with the little knee scooter thing for another month.
Oof.
Because you can't, the bones have to heal.
Yeah.
You can't, because you're just not giving them a chance to heal. So it has been a month. It was an extra month of him with the scooter. He did a really good job of staying on the scooter, and he did an extra good job of remaining positive and having a great attitude.
He should teach you how.
He really should. Kirk, funniest, most accurate thing you've ever said. Yeah. We all have our skills.
You want to keep talking, Graham? No, let's just do the podcast and wrap this up.
Was that a little abrupt? Before the podcast, we were talking about basketball, and eventually I was just like, let's do this. He's like, okay, are you angry at me? I'm like, no, I want to do this. Sun's going down. But I enjoy catching up with Kirk and talking basketball. We used to talk basketball for the first 5 minutes of this podcast. We decided probably shouldn't do that. So we keep it off
demographic,
air.
A lot of moms mostly.
Yeah,
and they probably
yeah.
don't care about the
no,
standings in the West Coast playoffs, conference,
care.
Western Conference.
So anyway, exciting stuff happening in 3 days. And he's been really diligent about it. And been a very good patient, and so I would be, and he's a young, healthy guy, so I'm pretty sure he'll be walking, and I'm excited. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for him to get back to work. It's very good for his mental, and also it's been 4 months of him calling me 3 times a day because he doesn't have a job. So it's like we're going back to the pandemic era where it's just like a lot. It's like all day, every day.
Any plans for a Summer of George kind of trip down to New York this summer for him? Are they coming down this summer again? No.
No. My parents are coming up at the end of the month.
Okay.
And
coming up?
Yeah, because they winter in South Carolina. And on the way back to Ottawa, they're going to come up here. And then I am going to surprise Peter in June for his 40th birthday. I'm randomly doing a club in Montreal the week after, so I'm just going to go up a couple days early, drive up if in the car if it makes it, and see my little bro. I'm going to buy all the presents he wants, every single one, and I'm going to save some money because I'm going to get them shipped from America to America and then drive them up rather than
contraband. You're gonna get across the border in your little mini, the green machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know, I'm gonna see him in a couple months.
Car's still running, guys. If you're curious about Graham's car troubles, yeah, car's still alive. I'm gonna take it for a little spin today.
It's about $2,000 a month in repairs. but
most expensive car on the planet.
Yeah,
but he's got taste.
No, it's not $2,000 a month. It is $500 a month. Oof. In repairs over a year on average. So I've spent that much.
Each ride costs you $100.
Yes. Yes. It's way more expensive than taking an Uber. But, you know, it's my baby.
You have so little. Enjoy it.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. It's true.
It's your little thing. Mm-hmm. I like it.
And I think I'm positive. I'm remaining positive, and I think that when that guy sold it to me, he knew that a bunch of stuff needed to get fixed. Now I fixed it, and I think it should be good for another couple weeks, and then it'll be I have to replace the body and the engine.
Another $500.
Yeah.
Well, should we do the old in the news?
Yeah, let's do in the news. Do you want to read the first one? I'll read the second one. We have two articles.
We got two articles this week. Very vastly different.
Yes, one's written in Chinese.
Yeah, but Graham is fluent. So
Mandarin.
He's had to learn all his manuals for his car in Chinese, and he had to learn. So last week, if you're long-time listeners, we had a listener who reached out, who read the letter, talking about her revelation in her adult years about having autism.
Yep.
And this kind of ties into that a little bit. This is I chose GMA, Good Morning America, but honestly, this has been the top 10 articles about autism this week. Is this the quote is, "It changed my life." Tallulah Willis reveals autism diagnosis as an adult.
Bruce Willis's daughter.
Yes. Was going through dementia now? What is he going through? He's going through something, right?
Some sort of dementia, yeah.
Tallulah Willis is opening up for the first time about being diagnosed with autism as an adult. The 30-year-old daughter of Bruce Willis and Demi Moore revealed the diagnosis on Instagram last week and shared a video of herself as a child touching her dad's head while he was being interviewed. Quote, "Tell me you're autistic without telling me you're autistic," Willis captioned the video. In response to commenters asking when she was diagnosed with autism, Willis said in a recent revelation, quote, "Actually, this is the first time I've ever publicly shared my diagnosis," she wrote. "Found out this summer, and it's changed my life. In addition to her autism diagnosis, Willis has previously shared publicly she was diagnosed with ADHD as a teen, and in 2022 was diagnosed as borderline personality disorder, a mental illness that severely affects a person's ability to manage their emotions, according to the National Institute of Health. In now sharing her autism diagnosis publicly, Willis has place a spotlight on the fact that people of all ages can be diagnosed with autism, not just children. Autism was not added to the diagnostic and statistical manual, DSM, the manual that used to diagnose mental disorders, until the early 1980s, and at that time it was only classified as a disorder impacting children. For people like Willis who are not diagnosed with autism as a child, the behaviors then that they noticed as adults may reveal a diagnosis after consultation and evaluation with a mental health provider, such as a neuropsychologist, psychologist, or psychiatrist. In the video she shared on Instagram, Willis claimed in the comments that she was, quote, stimming, a type of repetitive behavior that is not exclusive but is common with kids and adults who have autism. What to know about autism? Okay, I'm going to skip that. We already know all that. Autism is defined by the CDC as a developmental disability that can cause significant social, communication, and behavioral changes. That's it. That's the last paragraph.
Oh.
I jumped to the end.
Oh, I was confused because you were like, we already know this. And then you read it.
Oh, I jumped a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But thoughts?
I was just joking, buddy.
Comments? Insults?
Why? Yeah, I know a bunch of comedians who are diagnosed as an adult and still haven't figured out how to do it for myself, but we'll see.
Paragraph 6, a psychiatrist, psychologist, or neuropsychologist?
My psychiatrist says I don't have it.
Okay. Interesting.
He says, he doesn't say definitively you don't have it. He said you have not exhibited anything that would lead me to believe that you have that.
But as we know now, and our next article is going to explain, oftentimes when you're diagnosed as a child, the diagnosis doesn't...
it doesn't always last, interestingly enough, if you retest somebody. So this is from U.S. News. Nearly 4 in 10 toddlers diagnosed with autism no longer have it by age 6. Interesting. Not all children diagnosed with autism as toddlers continue to have that diagnosis once they reach elementary school, a new study shows. This, by the way, side note, this article is a year and a half old. While some past research has suggested this could be true, the new research backs that up, finding that a large percentage, about 37%, of these toddlers no longer met the criteria for the condition by the age of 6. I think what this shows is the importance of continuing to get developmental follow-up for all children with young diagnoses of ASD, said lead study author Dr. Elizabeth Harstad, a developmental pediatrician at Boston Children's Hospital. I don't want these findings to imply that losing the diagnosis is the best outcome. Children can have a range of wonderful outcomes whether or not they have the diagnosis. Harstad wanted to study the ranges of outcomes for children after seeing examples of this in her own practice and in other research. The more than one-third of children with an early diagnosis of autism later do not meet the criteria does not mean that the kids then have typical functioning. Some children may have continuing language or communication difficulties, anxiety disorders, attention deficit, hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, or lower IQ scores, Harstad said. The study also found that children with lower levels of adaptive skills for everyday activities like communication, decision-making, and self-care were more likely to have autism persist. The children in the study received a diagnosis between 12 months and 36 months of age and received community-based interventions. They then had a research diagnosis assessment at age 5 to 7 years between August 2018 to January 2022. There seems that there may have been a turning point. Other researchers have suggested a turning point around age 6, where children no longer have symptoms, Harstad said. While Harstad said a criticism might be that these kids were initially misdiagnosed, the diagnoses in the research were made by 44 different combinations of a developmental behavioral pediatrician and psychologist, not a sole provider or even a small group of providers. Assessments include the gold standard measure, the Autism Diagnostic Observation Schedule. I've never heard of that. I think our findings suggest that perhaps when behavioral criteria for ASD are applied at such a young age, they're capturing children with a broad range of function that will go out to have even broader range of trajectories, Harstad said. The findings were published online August 2nd of 2023 at JAMA Pediatrics. J-A-M-A Pediatrics. What took researchers and an expert who was not involved in the study by surprise was the number of children of whom autism didn't persist was so high. That maybe because these were contemporary cases using current rather than older diagnostic criteria, Harstad said. The number's a little bit higher than I was expecting, but it's very consistent with what other studies have been showing. Longitudinal studies on autism, said Alicia Holliday, chief science officer for the Autism Science Foundation of Scarsdale, New York. Holliday also emphasized that not having persistent autism doesn't mean these children no longer need supports or interventions through childhood or adulthood. I wanted to dismiss the idea, and I don't want people to come into this thinking, well, they got the wrong diagnosis to begin with, because that's not the case. They got a solid diagnosis to begin with, Holliday said. In Holliday's experience, children with autism who then fell off the spectrum have better functioning at the outset with higher levels of what is called adaptive behavior, and then they respond better to early intervention. The first thing I would say that these behavioral interventions are helping, so we should not skimp on them, Holliday said. I think that's the number one thing I would take from this is even if you fall off the spectrum, it doesn't mean that you're walking away without any needs, Holliday added. In terms of later repeat evaluation, that typically happens as part of the education process, Holliday said. The study authors noted that the importance of continuing to assess autism throughout a diagnosed children's development. The children in the study tended to receive the most interventions within the first 18 months after diagnosis. The researchers did not see a significant relationship between the persistence of autism and intensity of interventions. However, there's a lot of nuance to that. The interventions, perhaps the interventions work better for some children than for others. We were not able to show that, Halstead said. I hope that the parents feel empowered to continue to seek developmental supports for their children over time, including looking at autism symptoms as well as other parts of their developmental functioning, Halstead said. Ooh, I did it.
I'm shocked, but you did it.
So what's interesting to me is when I was reading it, you can't help but think about your own situations or whatever, yeah. Is that I did, when looking back on, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, I exhibited as a toddler a lot of autistic tendencies.
Okay.
One thing I used to always do was there was a screen door and I would just open and close it for hours. And it would drive my parents nuts. And then the only way it would stop is if my dad picked me up and moved me away. And you couldn't understand. I would always walk back to it and just open and close it. And like little things like that. And I'm curious, and obviously there's no way of knowing, but I'm curious as to whether I would have been diagnosed with autism at, you know, 2 or 3 or whatever. But maybe my brain changed, it developed in a different way, and I maybe don't have it anymore, but I still have ADD, ADHD, or what, you know, I've been diagnosed with those things. I can't do a lot of things. I still have needs, as the article says. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have other things. It's just interesting how the brain develops, I suppose. And also, I like that she said that, Dr. Harstad said that this isn't like necessarily a positive thing that you're no longer diagnosed with autism. Because, as we know, autism...
You still need tools.
You still need tools. And also, autism is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's not... You know, comparatively to something else, it's like the roadmap to understanding it might be easier, or I don't know. So,
but it's additional information that might help you understand yourself, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just... Yeah, these are... So, basically, these two articles highlight being diagnosed at different parts people not knowing they have autism in different parts of their lives, and then.
But this came up this week again on a cruise ship. But someone came up to me, and I do a 2 or 3 minutes basically every show. I try to do different jokes, but I just touch on it. I find that's what people can handle, about 10% autism jokes in a set, if they're not coming specifically for that. But
I've done sets where it's been like half, and people have been like crying and been like, we didn't, our kid's autistic, we weren't expecting this.
Right.
And I've been like, sorry guys. Like, right. They were like, we love it, but man.
Right.
And I'm like, uh-huh.
So it's a tough one. So, but they were saying, some lady came up and goes, my sister's kid clearly has autism, but she doesn't see it. She doesn't want to have them tested, blah, blah. But to me, I always espouse the same, I go back to the same thing. It's always better to have the information. And then if you decide, oh, I don't want him to do these therapies, I don't want him to, you know, whatever, that's a different decision. But having the additional information to make a more educated parenting decisions, always the right move, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kirk, I think we did another episode.
We did it.
Where can people find you?
Kirk Smith Comedy. I have a new Dry Bar special out. Dry Bar is out.
Congrats.
I buried the lead. I forgot to say this.
Yeah. Wow, that's huge.
And you can see some of it on YouTube at Dry Bar. My name is Kirk Smith. If you're still with me, you don't remember.
Dry Bar is a production company that puts out clean comedy specials.
And they have an app, too.
And they have a huge following. And it can be life-changing if it hits.
Fingers crossed. It would mean a lot if you want to watch those jokes and share them. And they can find it everywhere. It's also, I share a couple of them on my Instagram, Kirk Smith Comedy. You can see them on my Facebook, Kirk Smith Comedy. I guess it's the biggest thing I've ever had in my career. So we'll see what happens.
Congrats, buddy. That's awesome.
Thank you, man.
I am going to be doing my one-man show, Pete and Me, non-depressing look at autism and family, at the Caveat Theater on April 27th. That is next week in New York City at, I believe it's 9 p.m. And you can find tickets at grahamk.com if you live in the New York area. Please come and see. Ticket sales are light, but it's, you know, we got time. Usually there's a lot of last minutes come up, but then also I'm going to be doing my show at The Creek and the Cave in Austin, April 25th, I believe. April 25th, Austin, Texas. Come on out if you live anywhere in America. Drive to Austin, Texas. Come see me. You can find tickets as well to that at grahamk.com. And as always, follow both of us on social media, Instagram, YouTube. And thanks for listening. Good luck out there.
That's it, guys. Have a great week. You can do it.